And that's where I feel like God is wanting me to come to you from tonight, is Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. Three powerful yet short scriptures that I want to share. If you will, stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. This is the great chapter on sanctification, and we're just looking right in the middle of it. Look at verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not, everybody say shall not, have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And I want to preach to you a message entitled, Simply Submitting to God. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, either to your left or your right or behind you. Say, tell them you look good in God's house tonight. Hallelujah. You look good when you obey the Holy Spirit. When God tells you to come to the altar, you need to come to the altar. If God tells you to get up, hallelujah, you need to get up. Amen. We need to be obedient to our Lord and Savior. When? All the time, amen? God don't want us just to be obedient when we come to church. God wants us to be obedient to him every hour of the day. 7 days a week, hallelujah, 365 days a year, God calls us to live for him and be what he's called us to be. Now, Paul looks at verse 14 and says something powerful here we need to grab hold of. Verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, we start right there because it leads us to look at some important things. Number one, why shall not sin have dominion over me? Why am I not under the law, but under grace? We got to look at the previous verses and actually the whole chapter to really understand it. So if you will, go back with me to verse 11 and see what the apostle is saying here. He goes and he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, a lot of people think that we believe that sanctification is this mystical thing that happens where we go down to the altar and we pray and we ask God to sanctify us, and all of a sudden everything that we've ever wanted to do that's bad is just taken away. All the bad desires are gone. A lot of people teach and preach that that you don't ever have another bad thought when you get sanctified. You don't ever do anything wrong. That's not the case. We understand some things when we get sanctified that we don't realize before. First of all, he says, likewise, reckon. Everybody said reckon.
Reckon.
That word reckon means to consider yourself. It means that you've got to make a choice. You've got to see yourself. Notice what he says. Dead indeed to sin. Hallelujah. That means this. Sin is always going to be around you. Heard a story told one time of a man whose plane went down, and he wound up on a desert island for many, many years. And one day he was finally rescued, the sailors that rescued him asked him how had he survived so long. And the man said, well, I kept busy. And they said, doing what? He said, well, I just built me a little town, and I just would go about my daily routine. And here, you want to see him? They said, sure, we do. So he took them, and they went to a little bit further in the island, and they saw all of a sudden this grass hut that was really nicely decorated, and they saw a little bit further down there was a building there. He said, what's that building? He said, well, the grass hut's my home, and the building over
store. I bring my supplies and keep them in there. Then he took them a little bit further, and there was a big old church there. And they said, what's this? This is where I worship. And they went a couple of steps over, and there was another big building, another church. And they said, well, what's this one? He said, the first church had a split. And the thing you've got to realize, beloved, you can be by yourself and you still have problems. And we need to understand how to deal with the problems. And we can pray all day long, God, take this thing from me. Lord, deliver me from this. But beloved, we've got to make a choice to lay that sin down. We've got to make a choice when the devil wants to hand it to us. We got to say no thank you, and we got to run. Hallelujah. Notice what Paul goes on and says here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But notice what God does here. He doesn't want us to just live at home and be isolated and to be monks in a cave somewhere. But we are to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we say no to sin, but we got to make sure that when we say no to sin, we say yes to Jesus. You can give him praise on that. That's all right. A lot of people mess up right there. They say, okay, I'm going to die to sin, but they never truly yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. You've got to get sanctified. You've got to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because I told somebody this today just a little while ago. Salvation is a miracle. Do you realize that tonight? When you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, that was a miracle. Not everybody can get saved. Unless God draws you, you're not going to get saved. But not only is getting saved a miracle, staying saved is a miracle. For God to keep you and move you and draw you, that's the power of God at work in your life. Holiness is proof of the miracle of God. I think you ought to worship him and praise him for just a minute. Now we got to grow in this thing. Now notice what it says here in verse 12. Paul goes on and says, let not, everybody say, let not. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. This is talking about your flesh. What is the sin? That is the carnal nature. The carnal nature that wants to rise up in us when somebody makes us mad. The carnal nature that wants to rise up in us and cause us to desire the things of this world. Paul says that we've got to make a choice and say, no, you're not welcome here. Why? Because I'm alive unto Jesus Christ. Not in order to be saved, but because I am saved. Notice what he says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I know a lot of people that want to serve the Lord, but things are tripping them up. Their fleshly desires are messing them up. Hallelujah. If it was up to them, they would live for Jesus and they would be everything that God wants them to be. But there are some things that just have a hold on them. And we need to pray for those that we know in those shapes and pray that God would crucify that fleshly desire. Pray that God will give them a will to say no to sin and to say yes to Jesus Christ. But notice what it says here. It doesn't say that when you get saved, your desire, your mortal body is killed and you never have to struggle with it. It says you got to tell it no. You got to tell it no. How long do you have to tell it no? Again and again and again and again. Now notice what he goes on and says here. Verse 13, I love. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Notice what he says here. Who's it up to? The Holy Ghost ain't just going to knock you over the head. It's up to you. It's up to me. We make a choice to get mad. We make a choice, hallelujah, to say things we shouldn't say. We make a choice to do things we shouldn't do. But notice what he says here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. In other words, when the devil says, okay, put this ungodly thing in your mouth, we say no. When the devil says, watch this ungodly thing with your eyes, we say no. When the devil says, smell this, taste this, go here, hang with these people, dress this way, act this way, why, we say no. Amen. I'm living for Jesus Christ. Now, the big devil difference here is a lot of people say, well, why doesn't God just take it from me? Well, he's a gentleman. He ain't going to force himself on you. But notice what he goes on and says here. He says, do not yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But notice this. Remember the title of the message, submitting to God. Yield yourselves unto God. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor tonight, who are you yielded to? Who's your mouth yielded to? Who's your eyes yielded to? Who's your hands and your feet yielded to? Are you surrendering yourself to God Almighty, or are you still letting the old man rise up? The reason why I believe with all my heart that trials and tribulations come on us many times is because God wants to show us who we really yielded to. The reason why we deal with these situations and circumstances, it's not that God's wanting to punish us or God's wanting to beat us up. God's just saying, you know what? Give me that thing. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let Jesus take control of the situation, because it could be that thing you letting rule you is what's keeping you from the blessing you need. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's good preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice what scripture goes on and says here. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. If you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you raise your hand? Guess what? You're alive. Sin does not have dominion over you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, when you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and you went from being a child of darkness to a child of the light. You have a mansion that's prepared for you in heaven that Jesus himself prepared and worked on, and one day you're going to be there for him. He's coming back for you. So live like it. Woo! Hallelujah. Go ahead. Too many people in the body of Christ don't live like they say. That's why the world looks at us and goes, really? They yield themselves to the devil. They yield themselves to the carnal man. We need to live like we're saved. We need to act like we're saved. We need to, oh glory to God, we need to behave like we're looking for a city. His builder, hallelujah, is God Almighty. That's why we don't live holy in order to be saved, but because we are saved. Hallelujah. Heard a story told of a woman one time. Oh, she wanted to go to Hawaii. Her dream vacation was Hawaii. And her husband told her, he said, okay, honey, I'm going to take you to Hawaii one day. And he came home, and her bags were sitting there by the door, ready to go. He said, why are your bags by the door for? Are you leaving me? She said, no. She said, I'm just looking for one day. I'm ready to go. He said, well, I didn't mean today. The next day comes. Her bags were still there by the door. He said, honey, I didn't mean today either. She said, but I'm ready. Whenever you say you're ready, I'm ready. And she's taping that before her husband. And one day, finally, that day came. She came home, and there was two tickets sitting on the suitcase. And he went up and packed his bags. He said, it's time to go. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, that's why we need to be living in expectation of the Lord's return. We need to shun sin. We need to live right and walk right, because we're looking for the Lord when the trump of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ is going to rise. One day it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Yes. Now here's the thing. If that lady had just let her suitcases stay in the closet, and she let her husband forget about that trip to Hawaii, she might not have ever went. But because she kept it before him, because she kept looking, it came. And can I tell you something, beloved? One day Jesus is going to come back. But he's coming back for those who are looking for him. Coming back for those who are waiting for him. I want to be one of the ones who's looking for the Lord. Now look at what scripture goes on and says here. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's all around me, but it don't rule me. It tempts me, but I don't yield to it. Hallelujah. The devil throws it at me on the left and on the right, but I say no. Glory to God. It's not going to rule my emotions. Glory to God. There are people who get discouraged because they see sin all around them. They walk around mad all the time. You know Christians like that? They act like they're mad at the world. Everybody's dying and going to hell, and they barely hanging on themselves. They just mean. God don't want us to be mean. Now understand what this is saying here too. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For ye are not under the law. The law is not going to sentence you. Why? You're under the grace of God. The law showed you you needed a Savior. The law showed you that Jesus was the Savior. The law showed you, hallelujah, that by obeying the Spirit of God, you're going to keep the law automatically. You don't need to memorize it because the Holy Spirit's going to produce it. Glory to God. I tell you what, if you got the Spirit of God in you like you need to get the Spirit of God in you, you'll be in the house of the Lord, if at all possible, when it's time to be in the house of the Lord. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you ain't got to worry about whether you pay your tithes or not. You'll pay your tithes. You'll give your offerings. You'll witness. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you're going to live for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What we should worry about are those who aren't doing the fruits of salvation. We should pray for them, not get mad at them. But understand this. Ye are not under the law, but what's going to judge us? Grace. And before you wipe your brow and say, "Woo, thank you, Lord, for grace." Understand this. The law makes a heavy demand on people, but grace makes a bigger demand. The law says, do not commit adultery. Grace says that if you look on a woman and lusteth after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. It takes it to a whole nother level. Grace says if you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking all of them. That's grace. You need forgiveness. You need mercy. You need to call on Jesus. That's why it's so important for us as children of God, not just to say, hallelujah. You know what? I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I can live any way I want to live. No, you need grace, and grace is going to cause you to live right. Grace is going to cause you to walk right. Grace is going to cause you to talk right. When you stumble and you mess up, grace is going to cause you to come back to the altar. Aren't you thankful for grace? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back to the piano for just a little bit. Hallelujah. And that's where I feel like God is wanting me to come to you from tonight, is Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. Three powerful yet short scriptures that I want to share. If you will, stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. This is the great chapter on sanctification, and we're just looking right in the middle of it. Look at verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not, everybody say shall not, have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And I want to preach to you a message entitled, Simply Submitting to God. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, either to your left or your right or behind you. Say, tell them you look good in God's house tonight. Hallelujah. You look good when you obey the Holy Spirit. When God tells you to come to the altar, you need to come to the altar. If God tells you to get up, hallelujah, you need to get up. Amen. We need to be obedient to our Lord and Savior. When? All the time. Amen. God don't want us just to be obedient when we come to church. God wants us to be obedient to Him every hour of the day. 7 days a week, hallelujah, 365 days a year, God calls us to live for Him and be what He's called us to be. Now, Paul looks at verse 14 and says something powerful here we need to grab hold of. Verse 14, he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, we start right there because it leads us to look at some important things. Number one, why shall not sin have dominion over me? Why am I not under the law, but under grace? We got to look at the previous verses and actually the whole chapter to really understand it. So if you will, go back with me to verse 11 and see what the apostle is saying here. He goes and he says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Now, a lot of people think that we believe that sanctification is this mystical thing that happens where we go down to the altar and we pray and we ask God to sanctify us, and all of a sudden everything that we've ever wanted to do that's bad is just taken away. All the bad desires are gone. A lot of people teach and preach that that you don't ever have another bad thought when you get sanctified. You don't ever do anything wrong. That's not the case. We understand some things when we get sanctified that we don't realize before. First of all, he says, "Likewise, reckon." Everybody said, "Reckon."
Reckon.
That word "reckon" means to consider yourself. It means that you've got to make a choice. You've got to see yourself. Notice what he says. "Dead indeed to sin." Hallelujah. That means this. Sin is always going to be around you. Heard a story told one time of a man whose plane went down and he wound up on a desert island for many, many years. And one day he was finally rescued, and the sailors that rescued him asked him how had he survived so long. And the man said, "Well, I kept busy." And they said, "Doing what?" He said, "Well, I just built me a little town and I just would go about my daily routine. And here, you want to see him?" They said, "Sure, we do." So he took them and they went to a little bit further in the island, and they saw all of a sudden this grass hut that was really nicely decorated, and they saw a little bit further down there was a building there. He said, "What's that building?" He said, "Well, the grass hut's my home, and the building over here is my general store. I bring my supplies and keep them in there." Then he took them a little bit further, and there was a big old church there. And they said, "What's this? This is where I worship." And they went a couple of steps over, and there was another big building, another church. And they said, "Well, what's this one?" He said, "The first church had a split." And the thing you've got to realize, beloved, you can be by yourself and you still have problems. And we need to understand how to deal with the problems. And we can pray all day long, "God, take this thing from me. Lord, deliver me from this." But beloved, we've got to make a choice to lay that sin down. We've got to make a choice. When the devil wants to hand it to us, we got to say no thank you, and we got to run. Hallelujah. Notice what Paul goes on and says here. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." But notice what God does here. He doesn't want us to just live at home and be isolated and to be monks in a cave somewhere. But we are to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we say no to sin, but we got to make sure that when we say no to sin, we say yes to Jesus. You can give him praise on that. That's all right. A lot of people mess up right there. They say, "Okay, I'm going to die to sin," but they never truly yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. You've got to get sanctified. You've got to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because I told somebody this today just a little while ago. Salvation is a miracle. Do you realize that tonight? When you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, that was a miracle. Not everybody can get saved. Unless God draws you, you're not going to get saved. But not only is getting saved a miracle, staying saved is a miracle. For God to keep you and move you and draw you, that's the power of God at work in your life. Holiness is proof of the miracle of God. I think you ought to worship him and praise him for just a minute. Now we got to grow in this thing. Now notice what it says here in verse 12. Paul goes on and says, let not, everybody say, let not.
Let not,
let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. This is talking about your flesh. What is the sin? That is the carnal nature. The carnal nature that wants to rise up in us when somebody makes us mad. The carnal nature that wants to rise up in us and cause us to desire the things of this world. Paul says that we've got to make a choice and say, no, you're not welcome here. Why? Because I'm alive unto Jesus Christ. Not in order to be saved, but because I am saved. Notice what he says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I know a lot of people that want to serve the Lord, but things are tripping them up. Their fleshly desires are messing them up. Hallelujah. If it was up to them, they would live for Jesus and they would be everything that God wants them to be. But there are some things that just have a hold on them. And we need to pray for those that we know in those shapes and pray that God would crucify that fleshly desire. Pray that God would give them a will to say no to sin and to say yes to Jesus Christ. But notice what it says here. It doesn't say that when you get saved, your desire, your mortal body is killed and you never have to struggle with it. It says you got to tell it no. You got to tell it no. How long do you have to tell it no? Again and again and again and again. Now notice what he goes on and says here. Verse 13, I love. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Notice what he says here. Who's it up to? The Holy Ghost ain't just going to knock you over the head. It's up to you. It's up to me. We make a choice to get mad. We make a choice, hallelujah, to say things we shouldn't say. We make a choice to do things we shouldn't do. But notice what he says here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. In other words, when the devil says, okay, put this ungodly thing in your mouth, we say no. When the devil says, watch this ungodly thing with your eyes, we say no. When the devil says, smell this, taste this, go here, hang with these people, dress this way, act this way, why we say no. Amen. I'm living for Jesus Christ. Now the big difference here is a lot of people say, well, why doesn't God just take it from me? Well, he's a gentleman. He ain't going to force himself on you. But notice what he goes on and says here. He says, do not yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But notice this. Remember the title of the message, submitting to God. Yield yourselves unto God. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor tonight, who are you yielded to? Who's your mouth yielded to? Who's your eyes yielded to? Who's your hands and your feet yielded to? Are you surrendering yourself to God Almighty, or are you still letting the old man rise up? The reason why I believe with all my heart that trials and tribulations come on us many times is because God wants to show us who we really yielded to. The reason why we deal with these situations and circumstances, it's not that God's wanting to punish us or God's wanting to beat us up. God's just saying, you know what? Give me that thing. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let Jesus take control of the situation, because it could be that thing you letting rule you is what's keeping you from the blessing you need. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's good preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice what scripture goes on and says here. But yield yourselves unto God,
as those that are alive from the dead. If you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you raise your hand? Guess what? You're alive. Sin does not have dominion over you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, when you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and you went from being a child of darkness to a child of the light. You have a mansion that's prepared for you in heaven that Jesus himself prepared and worked on, and one day you're going to be there for him. He's coming back for you. So live like it. Woo! Hallelujah. Go ahead. Too many people in the body of Christ don't live like they say. That's why the world looks at us and goes, really? They yield themselves to the devil. They yield themselves to the carnal man. We need to live like we're saved. We need to act like we're saved. We need to, oh glory to God, we need to behave like we're looking for a city. His builder, hallelujah, is God Almighty. That's why we don't live holy in order to be saved, but because we are saved. Hallelujah. Heard a story told of a woman one time. Oh, she wanted to go to Hawaii. Her dream vacation was Hawaii. And her husband told her, he said, okay, honey, I'm going to take you to Hawaii one day. And he came home, and her bags were sitting there by the door, ready to go. He said, why are your bags by the door for? Are you leaving me? She said, no. She said, I'm just looking for one day. I'm ready to go. He said, well, I didn't mean today. The next day comes. Her bags were still there by the door. He said, honey, I didn't mean today either. She said, but I'm ready. Whenever you say you're ready, I'm ready. And she's taping that before her husband. And one day, finally, that day came. She came home, and there was two tickets sitting on the suitcase. And he went up and packed his bags. He said, it's time to go. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, that's why we need to be living in expectation of the Lord's return. We need to shun sin. We need to live right and walk right because we're looking for the Lord when the trump of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ is going to rise. One day it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Yes. Now here's the thing. If that lady had just let her suitcases stay in the closet, and she let her husband forget about that trip to Hawaii, she might not have ever went. But because she kept it before him, because she kept looking, it came. And can I tell you something, beloved? One day Jesus is going to come back. But he's coming back for those who are looking for him. He's coming back for those who are waiting for him. I want to be one of the ones who's looking for the Lord. Now look at what Scripture goes on and says here. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's all around me, but it don't rule me. It tempts me, but I don't yield to it. Hallelujah. The devil throws it at me on the left and on the right, but I say no. Glory to God. It's not going to rule my emotions. Glory to God. There are people who get discouraged because they see sin all around them. They walk around mad all the time. You know Christians like that? They act like they're mad at the world. Everybody's dying and going to hell, and they barely hanging on themselves. They just mean. God don't want us to be mean. Now understand what this is saying here too. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For ye are not under the law. The law is not going to sentence you. Why? You're under the grace of God. The law showed you needed a Savior. The law showed you that Jesus was the Savior. The law showed you, hallelujah, that by obeying the Spirit of God, you're going to keep the law automatically. You don't need to memorize it because the Holy Spirit's going to produce it. Glory to God. I tell you what, if you got the Spirit of God in you like you need to get the Spirit of God in you, you'll be in the house of the Lord, if at all possible, when it's time to be in the house of the Lord. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you ain't got to worry about whether you pay your tithes or not. You'll pay your tithes. You'll give your offerings. You'll witness. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you're going to live for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What we should worry about?
God are those who aren't doing the fruits of salvation. We should pray for them, not get mad at them. But understand this, ye are not under the law, but what's going to judge us? Grace. And before you wipe your brow and say, "Woo, thank you, Lord, for grace," understand this. The law makes a heavy demand on people, but grace makes a bigger demand. The law says, do not commit adultery. Grace says that if you look on a woman and lusteth after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. It takes it to a whole nother level. Grace says if you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking all of them. That's grace. You need forgiveness. You need mercy. You need to call on Jesus. That's why it's so important for us as children of God, not just to say, hallelujah. You know what? I confessed with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I can live any way I want to live. No, you need grace, and grace is going to cause you to live right. Grace is going to cause you to walk right. Grace is going to cause you to talk right. When you stumble and you mess up, grace is going to cause you to come back to the altar. Aren't you thankful for grace? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back to the piano for just a little bit. Hallelujah.